Blog Talk Radio.
Rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother David, and again, I'd like to welcome to the Spirit of a Soldier, where we come together to share the wisdom and knowledge of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just glorify and magnify your name for this day. You didn't have to give it to us, but you did, and we thank you. We thank you for all your blessings, your healing, your Holy Spirit, giving us the ability to exercise the fruits of the Spirit. Your whole armor, your mercy and grace, and surely your forgiveness. So as we go forward today, Father God, we just ask you that as I speak the words, Father God, those who are listening, let them have ears to hear. Let them have a heart to believe and a mind to receive the word of truth. Let me, Father God, speak accurately your word. Let it go forward, Father God, and be like a two-edged sword, cutting, Father God, through the bone marrow of life, Father God, to provide the wisdom that each of us need every day. We thank you that I, as the deliverer, will decrease, and the Holy Spirit will increase in me, Father God, to give your word of knowledge. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, again, I'm excited because today's show is about respecting the sacrifice which was made for us. The word says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. The quote for the day is, the greatest sacrifice is when you sacrifice your own happiness for the sake of someone else. And in John 15:13, he said, God love has no greater love than no man has than this, than to lay down their life for one's friend. And in Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Sometimes sacrifice can be just a word that we use and we say that we're doing kind acts for someone else. We're going over and above the cost, maybe with good intention or maybe for long-term personal intention. So the question comes into play is this. Are we carrying out sacrifices for personal gain or are they from the heart? Are we really sacrificing our own happiness for the sake of someone else? We can say we know God sacrificed for us, for his word tells us in Romans 8:32, he did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us. I'm reminded of a story about a sacrifice. When I was in Iraq, and we had a mission that needed to be accomplished. However, when it was time for that mission to begin, one of my soldiers wasn't nowhere to be found. I asked my platoon sergeant and squad leads, did they know his whereabouts? For which no one had an answer. I was a bit concerned at first, but as the night moved forward and our mission time began to come upon us, I moved from being concerned to taking action. I proceeded to gather a team to do a search on the streets of Baghdad, which wasn't very safe at the time, for sure. Our search moved into hours, and during that search, my own life became potentially compromised, because as I was walking the streets, I fell into a manhole. But as God would have it, my assault weapon, 249, held me up until my troops were able to pull me out. Upon one of my soldiers' flashlight hitting the manhole, we discovered it was connected to a daisy chain, or what we call the IED, improvised explosive device. As God planned would have it, his guardian angels protected me for the bigger mission. And it had not been for the Lord's protection, I probably wouldn't be doing this show today. Well, we found my troop, which was the main objective. Even though the original mission got delayed, another sacrifice had to be made because someone else's life meant more than our own. And as soldiers, we make these sacrificial decisions often, depending on the mission, sometimes daily. However, this story brings about another question. Do we really respect the sacrifice? Do we really know what's at stake? Do we really truly value the cost that is made by someone else for the sake of others? Well, let's look at what the term Webster puts into perspective about sacrifice. It says an act of offering to a God something precious, especially such as killing of a sacrificial lamb, if you will. And they did that back in those days on the altar. Something offered in a sacrifice, destruction or surrender or something for the sake of something else, something to give up to or loss. I'm a chess player. And usually when I play someone new, I always say to myself, I'm going to play them three games. And I'm going to sacrifice the loss to make a gain. In that experience, I get to understand how the person plays their pieces, how they're willing to sacrifice their pieces, and what they're willing to do to win. And after studying their style, if you will, of chess playing, I discover I usually have a pretty good handle on what to do, understand what they're willing to do, and in the process, I usually can win the fourth game, unless they're even better than me. But however, again, giving up something helps us to be able to understand something greater than what we intended to be. Now, the biblical meaning says sacrifice comes in two forms. It's an unbloody type of sacrifice, which is the first fruit or tithes, meat, drinks, and offering, and incense. And the bloody sacrifice is a burnt offering, peace offering, sin or trespass offering. Well, I learned from the epistles or the letters and also into Hebrew that sacrifice had in themselves no value or practicality. There were only the shadow of good things to come in order to point the believers forward to the coming of a great high priest who, in the fullness of time, was offered once for all to bear the sins of many. Again, sacrifice. Sacrifice belongs to the temporary economy, to the system of types and emblems, which they serve their purpose and have now passed away. And the one sacrifice for sins hath perfected forever them that are sanctified or consecrated. The one true sacrifice by Christ is truly worthy of our respect and humble appreciation. However, today, I want to consider those who paved the way for the supreme sacrifice to manifest. Why did the Spirit bring this to my attention? Because sometimes we become complacent, relaxed, or we just forget the importance of those who thought more of others than themselves. Those individuals who were obedient to God or their spirit or the Holy Spirit. Those who really understood the meaning of laying down their life for a friend. And those who truly should cause us to respect sacrifices that are made so we can reap the harvest we take for granted in our world today. So I'm going to talk about a few from the biblical times. Now, one person who made a sacrifice was Noah. Hearing God's word, Noah built an ark and assembled animals 2 by 2 and saved them from the dangerous flood that was about to occur. Noah's triumph of saving his family and many animals from God's rainstorm shows that no matter how down you get, there's always a way to save others, rise above the disaster, and navigate life's storms. And we all have life storms. We all have challenges. We all have issues that come up that require someone or ourselves to sacrifice. Parents sacrifice all the time. I've heard many people say how they have put their life, even when I was a kid, my mother had to sacrifice to put her life on the line many times. And I remember a guy put his life on the line, like, hey, black car. So people make sacrifice despite the storms, the challenges, the issues that may come up. We have to make the sacrifice again. We cannot get the gain unless we want to take the loss. Abraham was told that he had to kill and sacrifice his only son. Abraham was fully willing to go through that sacrifice until an angel stopped him, and instead, Abraham sacrificed a ram, saving his son Isaac's life. Abraham's story is truly a true power of sacrifice. This is almost the beginning, or at least say, I like to say, a trailer of when God would give up his son for the sake of others. But Abraham had to be willing and willing to obey and willing to sacrifice that which meant probably everything to him. Because he initially was supposed to have been the original son versus Ishmael. But he was willing to do it. He was willing to sacrifice. Because again, maybe he not knew the bigger picture, but he was paving the way for us. And then there was Moses. Moses, a true rag-to-riches story, where he was a part of one of three children, was placed in the basket by his family and sent off and was placed in the hands of the Egyptian Pharaoh. And later, he gave up his power, his authority, his prestige to sacrifice for those he would find out would be his people. Moses took the Israelites out of Egypt after calling down 10 plagues, among other events. And he still followed God's orders and looked to save those who were less fortunate than them. There are many people out here today who are doing just that. They're sacrificing themselves for the greater other. There are many missionaries going out to other countries. Some are not coming back dying because they're going to help the less fortunate. They're going into countries where it's poverty and it's truly famine and all the things that we take for granted here in America. And I always like to say in America, which is inconvenient. We have access to almost everything. This is truly the promised land. And I believe in my heart from my own travels, I would stand by that 100%. Yet sometimes we get complacent, we get relaxed, because now we have so much, we don't realize or give credence to those who made the sacrifice along the way for us to benefit from. And truly, Jesus was truly would be the model of models to sacrifice, a carpenter's son who would go and sacrifice his life and die for the sins of the people who didn't appreciate him, didn't value him, and then later be resurrected. And for we as the believers now, we're waiting on his return. He made the supreme sacrifice. He gave up his life. And he said, you take my life. I give my life willingly. Many of us are not willing to do that today. We have come comfortable. We have the resources. We have access to many things. But there was a time when we didn't have that. And I'll talk about the 20th century people who sacrificed and made a difference. And these are just a few because there are thousands of them who have done it. But obviously, I don't have that kind of time to talk about them. So we can look at Henry Ford. No invention was more important in the 20th century than the automobile. And the person who made the automobile available to the masses was Henry Ford. He produced the Model T and made the car affordable to the average American and built an economic boom that lasts more than 20 years and right into the 21st century. The widespread use of cars, the fundamental change for American society. People began to move away from the city center, causing the birth of the first suburbs in the middle of the century. Additionally, car culture became one of the defining characteristics of post-World War II America because it captured the sense of freedom inherent in the American spirit. And then there was Theodore Roosevelt. Though often overshadowed by his own cousin, Theodore Roosevelt was one of the most important presidents in the 20th century. In the White House at a time of great corruption and unease, Roosevelt used his power to progressive reform and protect the rights of the poor and the weak. And as we move forward, we get right to Martin Luther King Jr. At a time of intense violence and racial conflict, Martin Luther King rose as a voice of peace and power leadership. Under his guidance, the civil rights movement adopted the policy of passive resistance. The step of fighting back, the role of standing back, operating out of peace that he got from Gandhi, that won over the support of the white North and Southern Americans, and sped up the progress of change. And no person has been more important to battle the racial inequalities in American history than Martin Luther King. He trained on the movement of geographic, economic experience and built a national coalition that could not be silent. His leadership, and the passage of the Civil Rights Act and the Voting Rights Act brought a fundamental change to racial inequality in the United States. Again, people who were willing to sacrifice to the bigger picture. They weren't just people who were just heroes only. They were doers. They were people that stepped out in faith. They were people who believed that equality was important for all. They were people who believed that everyone has the right to be able to vote. Everyone has the right to be able to live what they need to live. Everybody has the right to be able to afford what they can afford. This is what we have in America. These people paved the way. We got to respect the sacrifice. And then there was Susan B. Anthony. She spent her entire life fighting for women issues. Together with Elizabeth Stanton, Anthony fought to end slavery and form a temperance movement in New York named the Daughter of Temperance. Anthony also advocated educational reform, arguing for co-education, equal education opportunities for all. Furthermore, Susan B. Anthony played an important role in the passage of the 19th Amendment in 1920, which recognized the important role that women played in American society by granting them the right to vote. Anthony's influence and legacy was critical regarding social ills to help pave the way for feminism, and the continued drive for equal rights. Male, female, black, white, doesn't matter what race, creed, or color. We're all a human race. And we have to recognize, as my mother used to always say, don't nobody have to do nothing for nobody. The one thing that gave us that opportunity to be able to say that is because in reality, we can do anything unto death. And the reality of it is that we have a choice. We can stand out or we can step up. And there have been many who have stepped up. But there have been many who have stepped back. And I always say the history was never changed by the multitudes. Oh, no. It was changed by those ones and twos who would step up into the leadership roles, and they would make that supreme sacrifice for the greater good of others. They decided within their heart that no matter what the cost, they were willing to put their life on the line, because no greater thing than a man do than lay down life for a friend. No greater thing to do. He didn't say lay down life for a husband, a wife, a son, or a daughter, a friend. And each one of those titles are incorporated into that whole meaning of what friend means. And we have to recognize the importance of that. This is why we see so much that is going on now. So how does this tie into respecting the sacrifice? Because Christ sacrificed, he set the tone for exercising the fruits of the Spirit, to walk in love. All this was driven by love. And I was telling someone the other day, I'm going to keep driving home the fruits of the Spirit, because I believe when I joined the military, the one thing they always start with is basic. They even title it basic training. We need these basic ideals. We need these basic attributes. We need these basic, if you will, words that we can use in our lives that helps us to get back on track when we sway to the left or to the right. We need these words, and these words that God said in his word, that words have power. And in our tongue is the power of life and death. We need to use that power of life by exercising and putting forward these words from the fruits of the Spirit and let them kind of marinate in our system. Once we exercise that, we can create that peace. And we do this through rendering this goodness and kindness and gentleness. And when we render this, we stand fast, we maintain that steadfastness, so that faithfulness to that, and let patience have a perfect work and maintain self-control. See, everything is out of control. We've seen in the last week people who are hurting, people who are in pain. They are not operating from the fruits of the Spirit. And I always tell people, even the perpetrator needs prayer because, again, they have a story. I don't justify their act. I justify that they're a human being that Christ died for them. The sun shines on the good and the evil. And I try to look at evil more so by behavior than the spirit of the man. Because, again, we all have fallen short. We all have sinned. All our sins are filthy rags. And Jesus did not distinguish categories of sin like man do. We need to be about that prayer. Because there were people who sacrificed. And the major one who came in the fleshly body was Christ. And he came to sacrifice for all sinners. I believe that in my heart, when we realize the fruits of the Spirit, we will start to really value the sacrifices that have been made. We'll respect it. Where children will respect their parents, and parents will respect their children, and parents will respect their parents. And even though sometimes parents become parents, they don't respect their own parents because they lost sight of the sacrifice. I listened to some stories of some of my soldiers, and they would talk about how they disliked their parents because they wasn't around, but they don't know the story. Sometimes we have to take the time to be patient from the fruits of the Spirit to listen to people's stories. Everybody got a story. I was talking to a young man today about the situation of what is going on in society. And he said, well, what does a young man 19 have that he could feel like he was hurt or abused? 19 years is a long time, no matter when it begins or ends. And a lot of things can happen in that moment. Pain can be manifested. Hurt can be manifested. Frustration can be manifested. And put all together to make an egregious call anger, we see the outward manifestation. But it's time for us to respect the sacrifices that have been made so that we can operate from the fruits of the Spirit, so we can show people who are lost that they don't have to entertain racism, genderism, all these other isms that we have that keep us divided. And truly, a house that divided can't stand. We can't come together and say we love, and we come together when crisis happens, but we don't come together when people just need someone to lean on. As Bill Withers would say, lean on me when you're not strong. Maybe that young man or those young men who took out people's lives, they wasn't strong. They wasn't as strong. They didn't have no voice to go to. They didn't have no shoulder to lean on. They didn't have anyone that respected them. They didn't have anybody to listen to. And Satan is always waiting for the opportunity to pull someone who is lost, who would probably never do nothing wrong, and pull someone that is lost into his fold and confuse them and get them frustrated and cause them to act out. But it's we who know Christ, we who say that we profess that Christ is love, and we who profess to say we want to emulate Christ, we want to be an example of Christ, we need to reach out and recognize the importance of the sacrifice that he made. Respect it, because he did this for us. And in turn, we need to give it back to someone else, if they like to say, pay it forward. We need to respect the sacrifice. It's time out for families being divided. It's time out for families showing up at funerals, but not showing up at a gathering of someone in a fellowship of a wedding or a bar mitzvah or a birthday because someone was angry at somebody. Because when we all lay down in that casket, none of that matters. None of that matters. It's time to respect the sacrifice. Christ did not stop and quit and give in because man didn't do right. Even his own disciples would let him down. He even told one, you're going to deny me three times. But Christ didn't stop. He went on and made the sacrifice. We can't let the things of the world, if you will, deter us from operating the things of the Spirit, to walk in those fruits of the Spirit, to go to God in prayer, to never cease praying, to continue to pray to God to give us guidance and wisdom and understanding so we can respect the sacrifice. I think when we recognize the importance of what sacrifice really is, children will not be so quick to turn their back on their parents. They have ears to hear. But we have to set the example. We have to set the model. And we have to give them patience. When it comes down to children, for example, we have to be patient with them so that they may mature. And sometimes we have to be patient with those who have age or who are seasoned. We have to be patient with them in their spiritual maturity or their emotional maturity. So they too, as I like to say, get to know thyself, develop thyself, so they love thyself, so they won't hurt nobody else. We got to respect the sacrifice. So I think that it's imperative that we recognize that there are many who have paved the way. And I'm sure that each and every person under my voice have paved the way for someone, your children, your family, your friends, opportunities with your coworkers. You open up the doors. And in turn, we should reciprocate that. I was sitting with a group the other day, and I told a young couple, I said, if you wake up and you say to your husband, what can I do for you? And he wakes up and said, what can I render back to you? When you got two people giving, there's only room for receiving. But there has to be a giving. There has to be a sacrifice. It can't be about me, myself, and I, as society tries to tell us. Well, I'm looking out for me. I'm taking care of me. Well, me is an island by itself, and God intended for us to be alone. He built us to be in relationships, as I spoke about, relationships. And in relationships, there is sacrifices, all kinds, all forms. But we have to appreciate it. You say, he who can appreciate a little can appreciate a lot. But if all you're looking for is to get a lot without no sacrifice, you're like a farmer looking for a harvest that never planted a seed. And unfortunately, that's foolish. We have to be willing to take a loss to make a gain. And in most cases, the loss always brings about, especially when we're following God's word, it brings about a greater reward. Look at Christ's sacrifice. He took such a loss that he went down to hell and he came back up with the keys of victory that we could have life and have it more abundantly and have it eternally. So that small gratification that we get when we say, it's about me, as one of the singers said, what have you done for me lately? Because you just want, but you're not willing to give. You're fooling yourself because your return is going to be small. But when you recognize the importance of being able to give and give from the heart, as I asked earlier, what is your giving, your sacrifice for long-term self-gratification? Or is it about providing for others that they can receive the benefits that are way far greater than the immediate gratification? So I believe that it's important for us to recognize this. It would appear that the world, that we are lost and truly lack understanding what sacrifice is all about. But in reality, God wants us to walk in peace and harmony until Jesus' return, to go and share his good news of salvation, to help every man, woman, or boy feel valued, appreciated, accepted because of Christ's supreme sacrifice. No one should feel that they can't be connected to someone else. No one should feel isolated. These isolated moments, they would say, an isolated mind is the devil's workshop because he gets to have a field day. We need to let others feel that they are connected. We may not be able to bring world peace or stop the violence and pain the world is experiencing, but I believe that when we begin to respect the sacrifice that was made by Christ and is being made on a continual basis, we can at least decrease the senseless killing and the deep spiritual pain that many people are experiencing in our world today. As I get ready to close, I pray that these words will help at least stimulate your own thoughts. This is just what the Spirit given me. I'm sure you have even more abundance to give to others. Let's go out and spread the good news of love. Let's share the fruits of the Spirit and let the world feel that we're willing to sacrifice because we care about someone else greater than ourselves. Again, I'm your host, Brother David. I thank God for this opportunity and look forward to speaking to you next week. Peace be with you, and may God's protection be with you all. Have a good evening.